Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Folt, sitting here with none other than my man, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. How are you, buddy?
Thank you. I'm doing well tonight. How are you?
I'm doing great. Couldn't be any better. I'm at my favorite place in the studio, getting ready to put out some great material for our listeners and have a good time.
I know, man. I love when we have a topic that's so easy and fun to talk about like tonight.
Yep, tonight is really exciting. I have to say, ever since the launch of the podcast, I've been excited for this topic. We've had a bunch of different things written down that we wanted to discuss, and we finally come to tonight's topic, and I'm excited about it. But before we jump right into it, do anything fun, exciting this weekend?
Well, yeah, if you've listened to the podcast and the weeks leading up to this, I got to spend some time with my son all by my lonesome.
Nice. How did that work out? Any scary moments or did everything run smooth?
It was just amazing. I was able to get up and get him all dressed and ready to go, put him in a good mood, get him all fed, and then take him down to his grandma's house. And really, at that point, just step back and watch the magic.
That is, I mean, there's something to be said about grandparents with their grandbabies. It's nothing like it. I can recall my dad when he used to interact with my kids, and if they were being disciplined by my wife or I, and we were telling them about the subject, and then they would kind of come down on us, or if my kids did something similar at their house that we would have gotten trouble in as kids. There, everything was fine, and I would look at my dad sometime and just be like, who are you and where is my dad?
Right, yeah.
And he would just laugh, and I guess it's just a whole different ball game with the grandkids.
Yeah, I don't know how to think of kids in that realm yet. I think of kids from a fatherly perspective where, you know, I'm raising these beings and it is my responsibility and to kind of create their consciousness. So, you know, there's things that Jackson can do and get away with and look at me. And he knows sometimes he's like right on the edge, but I'll let him get away with it, especially at grandma's house. But then there's things that he can't do, and immediately everyone in the room knows that daddy's got to come down on you.
Oh, absolutely. Kids are a lot smarter than we are, and they know how far to push the boundaries sometimes and just to the edge, or they know if these certain people are around, they're not going to react. Now, they may think, I'm going to get it later. But hey, for right now, whee!
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell sometimes their conduct, it may mean that they're hungry. You know, if they haven't eaten for a while and you look at him and he says something in a weird way and you're like, you're hungry. Or yep. Or if they're tired and, you know, you're getting close to the end of the night and they do something that's just a little too odd, you think to yourself, all right, we're done here.
Yep, I get it. My youngest, she's an absolute delight all the time, happy and just loves life. But if she makes that switch to Mr. Hyde from Dr. Jekyll, we know she's hungry because she's got low blood sugar and everyone just finds something that she can eat. And yeah, within minutes of that, then she's back to her delightful self again. But yeah, it's all those fun things you get to learn to read about your kids and enjoy. But yeah, I guess you know, we're a distance away from being able to experience the grandparent aspect of relationships, but because as of right now, I think to myself, when my kids have kids, I'm just gonna be like, hey, I'm not watching them.
that's your thing?
That's it right now, because I'm so tired as it is right now, like 90% of the time, you know, fathering four kids, and I'm just like, oh my god, I can't imagine another baby in the house right now or wanting to take care of or watch on the weekends. But, you know, it's such a long way down the road. I'm sure it'll be fine and everything will be fine.
Right. I mean, as far as this generation and fathering the children that we have, it's so enjoyable. It's so worth it. It's definitely a testament of where we're at in our lives right now. But
definitely.
Hey, so how are you, man? What's going on with you?
Oh, I'm good. I just got back from spending the weekend up at my buddy's cabin, and we had a nice time. Got up there. It was about 2.5 hour drive, so a little up north of Pennsylvania, and just right out in the middle of nowhere. Cabin sitting on a bunch of acreage, lots of deer running around. Nothing really technical to get in your way.
Right.
My cell phone was hit or miss, which was fine because I really didn't even mess with it. I left it upstairs in the cabin most of the time, just charging. Now, Saturday, we had a storm come in, which I know you got one down here. I think you guys got hit a little bit before we did.
Yeah, there was a tornado right
in
Marietta.
Yeah, I saw that. We didn't have anything up there. I mean, we had some strong winds that coming through the mountains like that sometimes sounded like trucks coming down the gravel roads. We were looking out the windows and went, well, there's no truck. I don't see any headlights. But yeah, it was just a great weekend for relaxing. Friday night, it was really warm out with a nice breeze. We had a fire going. Around 11 o'clock, we turned on all the side lights on the property and got the shotguns out and shot a little night skeet.
All right.
Which was neat. I said to the guys that I was up there with, I said, you know, the next time we come up here, we got to bring some glow-in-the-dark spray paint. And spray paint some of the clays, make them even more visible than what they were. That would just be really neat. Then on Saturday, you know, it started drizzling in the morning. We kind of had a chill day. We went into town to a local butcher shop, got some steaks, grilled them up, watched the Pens Flyers hockey game that night, and just sat around with a couple adult beverages, enjoying the time off, and I liked it.
Wonderful. I love that.
Yeah, so I mean, I love being up there in the country because you know, you can get alone, you can, you know, get lost in your own thoughts and just relax and get away from the day-to-day hustle and bustle. And what was nice about Friday night being out at the campfire is, you know, you don't have any of the light pollution. So you can look up in the sky and you can see all kinds of stars and constellations. And I had myself wandering out into the property a couple times by myself and just looking up there at the vastness of space and the stars and how clear everything was. And, you know, there was a couple times I was like, well, maybe if I just stand here long enough looking, maybe I'll see something out of the ordinary. Maybe a UFO. I don't know.
Maybe something extraordinary.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe down in the far-off farmer's land, maybe something will land and we'll be caught by surprise, all of humanity. Which, by saying that, brings us to tonight's topic that we're going to discuss and have some fun with. We're going to talk about the reality of and the possibility of UFOs and extraterrestrials.
Excellent topic, Matthew.
Very excited about it. I have been enthralled in this topic ever since I was a small child. My father, he loved the topic. He and I used to discuss it a lot. He was a true believer. I'll be the first to admit to the public that I do believe in a life outside of this planet. And it's just one of those topics that I like to research. I spend a lot of my time when I am watching TV. I spend a lot of time on YouTube watching documentaries on UFOs and on ET and just, you know, all subjects of the like, because I just can't seem to get enough of it because it's one of the most interesting things for me to research, discuss, and have fun with.
It's a special topic, and I think that there is a very limited amount of the population that I think still believes that we are alone.
Yes. I mean, it's a topic where if you're sitting around with a bunch of people that you're comfortable with, people you grew up with or people you've known for a considerable amount of time, this topic can come up and you feel comfortable talking about it and giving your views and your insight on what you believe is out there or lack thereof. And you can have a really good time with it. Now, there's a stigma that comes along with it, and I'll get into it a little bit later. I'll just give a little hint right now. I think the stigma comes from if there is life on other planets and there are people on this planet that are aware of it within our government or any type of a black project, but we'll get into that later, that they have put out some type of humiliation that is to go along with the topic so that if you're discussing it, you kind of feel like a fool to the public eye. And that's just one of the things that we'll talk about tonight is the perception of it all and why a lot of people who are in the scientific realm don't speak about it because they don't want to be criticized by their colleagues.
Right. There's a lot of intelligent people out there that either have proof or have spoken with enough people to understand this entire topic much better than anyone else, but they don't really come out into the public because of the ridicule.
Exactly. And a lot of the things that I'll typically say to people, if I'm talking to somebody on this topic and they're just not buying it, they just think, oh, well, we are humans and Earth are the center of our universe and there can't possibly be any other intellectual beings out there. I always catch myself looking at them and I just say, no offense, but that's one of the most arrogant statements that I think that I've ever heard. I mean, we are in a Milky Way galaxy that's 100 million, I think it's 100 million light years across, and that's just one galaxy among billions of galaxies out in outer space, and you're telling me that this small dot in the universe is the only possible intelligent life in the universe? I mean, that just seems bogus to me.
You're telling me that you're the most intelligent thing in this universe?
And if that's the case, that's why we have no proof of UFOs and ETs.
Yeah, exactly. There is some science that I came across when I was doing some research for this, and it basically is regarding the telescopes that we're using nowadays. And one of the things is that you can use a telescope now that will give you from a star's rays that hit the Earth the probability of whether or not there is a life-supported planet within that galaxy. Because of this, the light is now shown in colors. So you have the colors of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, and blue. Roy G. Biv,
yeah.
And stars are burning at different rates. So if you have a small star, it could be a red star, or a larger star that's a blue star. And you really, to support life, you need a star about the size of our sun, which is an orange light.
Right.
And to find out even more, when you're looking at the light where the star is producing this light and it is traveling through the galaxy that it is right around, if there are certain components, for example, carbon, that will take out certain parts of the spectrum of that light. So you can tell, if that star is a life-producing star, and then B, if you have the components of life at a molecular level. Not actual life. It's undetectable at this point.
Right.
But there is a way for us to now kind of filter out a large amount of stars and solar systems and galaxies where it's just not possible.
Right. And a lot of those telescopes would be used in like huge agencies like NASA, because if we were to go outside, even just with our naked eye or just with a telescope that you might have picked up at JCPenney or something, we don't even have any fact that light that we're seeing from those stars even exist anymore, because of the distance that light has had to travel. It's finally reaching Earth. That star might have imploded in on itself already. And
could be a supernova.
Supernova. That's exactly what I was going to say. But yeah, so there are a lot of things that are being studied out there on a very high level, but I think we'll start. Let's start at the at what a lot of people would probably call the beginning of it all, in Roswell, New Mexico.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure when you hear the name Roswell, New Mexico, everyone's got to think of that one magical place of Area 51.
Area 51 may be one of the highest levels of security that's in the nation.
Right. And when you are in the, when you're discussing the topic of UFOs and ETs, if you're considered a real serious ufologist, Area 51 is a term that is not even used. They don't use Area 51. They use, there's several different names that that they have for it. They call it Groom Lake. Groom Lake is probably one of the biggest names that it's referred to it. Like, if you walked into a seminar full of different scientists and ufologists and you're like, let's talk about Area 51. They'd be like, who's this noob?
Yeah, they'd be like, I don't think you have the right place. Yeah,
exactly. They'd be referring to it as Groom Lake or S4. And the reason why it got the name Area 51 was back when they were looking for a facility to make, it was just a part of the grid out in the desert that came up as a section of land. There was Area 52, 53, blah, blah, blah. And Area 51 was the grid that had the flattest land to build a facility on, and that flat land was actually a dry lake bed, hence Groom Lake. And S4 stood for Sector 4, so that's where the facility was built. But
it was denied.
It was Area 51 was denied until almost, you know, recently in our timeline, until Google had launched a satellite into space that could actually identify it. It was denied up until the Clinton presidency, and then finally they had a satellite that could locate it. And you can't deny this facility anymore. We see it. And I mean, it was even joked about in Independence Day when Will Smith was flying his fighter jet one-on-one with that alien craft, and he parachutes in, and then all those cars come across the desert, and he said, there's a base nearby here. And the guy says, well, it's not on the map. He says, trust me, it's there. And then they drive to Area 51. So yeah, it's been denied. And I mean, Roswell, New Mexico is famous for, there's a lot of debate on whether this really happened or not, but there's a lot more proof out there that there was a UFO that crashed in Roswell, New Mexico, back in July of 1947, and there's a lot of information to back it up.
Right.
So I'm gonna read you something real quick, just a quick synopsis on one of the things that happened back in July of 1947. Roswell, New Mexico, there was a man named William Woody, who lived in east of Roswell. He remembered being outside with his father the night of July 4th, 1947, when he saw a brilliant object pulse to the ground. He and his father tried to locate the area of the crash to search for the debris, but were stopped by military personnel. Now, I could obviously see that you're being... if it was just a plane crash, that, you know, there's going to be some type of authorities back that are going to try and keep you back at a distance. They're not going to try and remove you completely from even being able to see what's going on or give you any type of information. I mean, they were basically, that was just a synopsis I gave. They were basically told, if you don't leave this area immediately, we're authorized to use physical force. And to this day, even though it's just known as a top secret base, I've driven through there on my way across country, and just driving down the extraterrestrial highway, you'll see vans come up over the hill, and they're watching you, and there's cameras in the lawn, and they even have sensors on the ground there that detect like hydrogen, like so from your body. So if you're walking through there and you're just breathing, it'll pick that kind of, it'll pick up your breathing. But, and it used to be able to be visible from a mountaintop, probably from about 12 miles out. And if you climb this mountain, you could get a glimpse of Area 51. Well, a lot of people were doing that, and the base is so secretive for some reason or another that they decided to purchase that whole area now. So the only way for you to get a glimpse of Area 51 is from a mountaintop from 25 miles away. So unless you have a really good telescope, you're not seeing anything that's going on in there. But I tend to believe that the crash that happened in Roswell was real.
Right. So I did not realize it was on the evening of July 4th, because there was also a very famous alien sighting, UFO sighting in Brazil, and there was fireworks involved in the either the attraction or the deterrent of the UFOs. And to hear that it was on the evening of the 4th of July makes me think that maybe they were attracted to that area by some fireworks.
It very well could be. Now, there are some there have been some talks from some people within that have come forward from within inside the military industrial complex that they were getting up in years and they want to get the story out on aliens and UFOs. And a lot of people say, I've heard it several times in several documentaries, that the UFO that traveled across the cosmos with this high technology did not enter our atmosphere and end up crashing. A lot of people are saying that our government, even back as far as the 40s, they had the technology of a it's just a pulse. It's like a big radar gun that shoots off a pulse, and they target these craft when they come into our atmosphere, or even before they enter our atmosphere. They'll fire this pulse of energy, and it somehow interferes with their onboard electronics, and it crashes them. Because they want to take these crafts down, because they want to study the technology, not for the better of mankind, but for the better of themselves within this really tight unit, which if you're a part of any type of black project, you're sworn to secrecy. And there has been some guys that have come forward and documented their faces are blacked out. You can't see them. And they basically say, when you join, they'll give you a simple speech. Don't tell anybody, because don't worry, we're not going to kill you. We're going to kill your wife. We're going to kill your kids. We're going to kill your parents. We're going to kill everyone you know. And then you can suffer under those likes. So, yeah, so that was some very interesting information that I've come across in my studies, that the crash in Roswell wasn't necessarily on the fault of the UFO, but by humanity bringing it down.
Right, and those pulses were definitely around in that time period. I know that Hitler had been trying to use that to stop big, in World War II, advances towards his troops. See, they would use the pulses, whether it was against machinery or whether it was against actual human beings. Like, you can just drop somebody with these high-pitched pulses. So
yeah,
I know that technology was around then.
Yeah, Hitler was a big believer in it, and there's a lot of people that think that Hitler did have interactions with extraterrestrials. He was working on a project. It was a device that was the shape of an acorn. They called it something Bell. It's eluding my mind right now, but they were saying that he was close to being able to create a machine that could levitate, that could just be in the air and run off of its own energy without sound. And if you listen to any stories or documentaries from our fighter pilots in World War II, there are many claims that they saw all kinds of UFOs, which they referred to as what's the name of the band that spawned after Nirvana? I just had it on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, they would see these aircraft all the time, and there's nothing that you could say to them that Foo Fighters were the name of these objects that were seen in the skies.
I'm sorry, Dave Navarro.
Yeah, not Dave Navarro.
That was not Dave Navarro?
I thought Dave Navarro was Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I thought Dave Navarro was with Nirvana.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hey,
anyway, I never really listened to them, but anyway, that's getting off topic. But David Grohl or something like that, I thought was...
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Foo Fighters. But yeah, so a lot of World War II vets claim to have seen these objects and are big believers in it. I want to get back to a little bit more on Roswell, New Mexico, and give you a little story about a young mortician named Glenn Dennis. He was working at a Ballard Funeral Home, and he had received some curious calls one afternoon from RAAF morgue, which is the military. The base's mortuary office was trying to get a hold of some small sealed coffins, and also wanted to know how to preserve the bodies that had been exposed to the elements for a few days and avoid contaminating the tissue. This was directly following the quote-unquote crash that took place out in the desert. Dennis had later received that evening a drove to the base hospital, where he saw large pieces of wreckage with strained engravings on one of the pieces sticking out of the back of a military ambulance. He entered the hospital and was visiting with a nurse he knew when suddenly he was threatened by a military police and forced to leave. The next day, Dennis met with the nurse, who told him about bodies discovered with the wreckage and drew pictures of them on a prescription pad. And with a few days, she was transferred to England, and she was never heard from again. So this information was gonna. He was just asked, "Hey, do you have these small sealed coffins that can, keep this tissue from contaminating?" That's all the information he was supposed to know. And then this nurse came forward, giving him more information, and lo and behold, transferred, and her whereabouts remain unknown.
That's like saying we're taking the dog to a farm.
Yeah, the old story. The dog knocked the daughter down the stairs. Oh, don't worry, honey. He's off at the farm. He's doing fine.
He's living a great life.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Is Roswell, New Mexico, and the people that live in Roswell. I can't imagine that there's anybody out there that tries to even deny the fact of alien life or UFOs that have visited Earth. I mean, there's stories that go back even beyond that, back into Egyptian days in the pyramids. Some of the hieroglyphics that are been interpreted point towards extraterrestrials. And there's a lot of scientists out there that say throughout the world, all the pyramids that are constructed, they are constructed in such a manner that they're in line with one another. And there's scientists that believe that these extraterrestrial races that helped, if not build the pyramids, built these as some type of energy grid, that they are in line with each other so well and so perfectly that out of the top of the pyramids would come some type of energy that would be used in the way sort of like Tesla, when he was trying to invent, free energy. That's what these pyramids, even back in that time, were used for and linked all over the world. Because if you look at the pyramids in Egypt, the way that they're constructed, back then, people weren't necessarily traveling all points of the globe. But then you'll find pyramids in Mexico and all over South America and Africa and Europe, and they're all built to the same specifications. And a lot of them, within their own culture, tell same or similar stories about these people visiting from the heavens in their vehicles, in their chariots of fire, and things of that nature. And, these stories have been told throughout generations, and people have kind of taken them on as folklore. But if you're really into the subject of ufology and you study it, a lot of the information points to the fact that it seems to be that these are visitors from other star systems.
Well, to have no communication between civilizations, and who would have thought that they knew to draw spaceships back 1,000 years ago when they weren't invented yet?
Right.
And to have multiple civilizations at the same time. I got a little blurb on pyramids.
Okay.
We claim to be the most advanced beings in this world, yet we can't replicate the pyramids in Egypt. This means either that we were super advanced thousands of years ago, which evolution doesn't agree with.
Correct.
Or that something besides earthly humans made them.
Agreed. And I am a firm believer that these pyramids that are not only found in Egypt, but across our globe, were either a hand was given or were completely constructed by extraterrestrial beings. Now, if you just go forward just a little bit from Area 51, just from that story, you can come up on another real famous story. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of Betty and Barney Hill. Betty and Barney Hill were a couple that was taking a road trip together back in 1961 along a road, and they started to see a light in the sky. So they decided, well, let's follow this light and see what it is. And, you know, we're driving down the road trying to get a better glimpse of this when they came around a corner, and there hovering in the middle of the road was a UFO, was a saucer-shaped craft, and then their minds went blank. So they were pretty shooken up by this, because after seeing this UFO in front of them, the next thing they just remembered is being back in their car again, but they had lost so much time, like a few hours had gone by. So they were really concerned about it. Now, they ended up going home. Now, Barney, he just kind of wanted to forget about this whole situation that just taken. He doesn't want to know what that thing was that we saw. He doesn't want to know why so much time has passed. He just wants to forget it, because we're talking about the beginning of the 1960s. He knows if he's going to be ridiculed, because these people are famous for being the first people to come forward. But Betty, she needed to know more. I'm going to give you a little bit of information that I looked up on this couple. They're the first abduction case to be brought to the public's attention, and it was back in 1961. Betty and Barney Hill reported seeing a UFO and experienced a period of missing time while on a long car journey. Under hypnosis, they both separately described how they were abducted by aliens and shown around the spacecraft before undergoing medical examination. Betty also spoke of the origin of the aliens, which were of the Zeta Reticuli system. But at that time, it wasn't discovered until 1969. So basically, when Betty was under hypnosis, and the doctor that was hypnotizing her said, well, where did these beings say they come from? She drew a picture of the star constellation. And when she gave it to the doctor, then it turned it over to a bunch of scientists. And they're looking at it, and they're like, well, she's got to be making this up. This constellation doesn't exist. This, that, and the other thing. 8 years later, there was a female scientist that came forward when that actual star system was discovered. It was in the exact location in the sky, and it was in the Zeta Reticuli. And there was no way that Betty could have known this, because the smartest minds in the world that are studying outer space hadn't even created or hadn't even discovered it yet. Pretty wild.
That's very wild.
So, yeah, so then we have Betty and Barney Hill being one of the most famous and first people to come forward to talk about that. But we don't just have your everyday Joe coming forward and making a claim. There are people within that have top secret clearance that even worked side by side with presidents that have said, not only do the presidents know that ETs and UFOs exist, that one of them actually had a secret meeting with them. And that president was President Eisenhower. Had you heard about this?
I have not heard about this one. You got to tell me about it.
So I'm trying to think of what the date was. President Eisenhower, he had a large interest in this topic of aliens and UFOs. And he was supposed to be going to some meeting or some summit out near Palm Springs. I'm just trying to think. I believe it was in 1954. And he didn't show up for this certain summit. And people wanted to know, well, what happened from him? We had reports that the car went off the direction it was supposed to, the motorcade, and drove 45 minutes in the other direction to an Air Force base. Well, some people have come forward that were actually at this Air Force base that day and, you know, putting their right hand on the Bible, stating that President Eisenhower met with some type of alien life form and had a meeting with them. And what he discussed was they were going to make some types of treaties or different bargains with each other. But one of the first things that that the ET wanted to know was if it was all right that they come and visit the Earth. And insiders that were there claimed that Eisenhower looked at him and said, well, how can I stop you from doing that?
Right.
I mean, you got people traveling through stargates and through time, or and you know, through the vastness of space with this technology, and you're asking me permission. But so I guess then what they, you know, he did say, yeah, that's fine. You know, it's okay that you're visiting our planet. So then the alien race had then said, we're willing to offer you different technologies to your planet. But what we want in an exchange, and you as being the president of the United States, one of the most powerful people in the world, we want permission to every now and again take a human subject up into our craft or even up into outer space and run medical tests on them. We'll return them, but we just want to learn more about your people, and we want to have the permission to do so. Well, the insider said that he agreed to that. And they exchanged the technologies, and since that date, the abduction stories have gone up tenfold. So there you have, you know, insiders saying that even President Eisenhower had meetings with aliens from outer space. And there's a handful of presidents that may have had some information on UFOs and ETs. But there's also some that have been blocked. I heard that President Clinton, he was very interested in the subject and wanted to know more. But he would get stonewalled. He would call, people would say, well, here's a number that you can call for this five-star general. Would call the office, somebody would answer, and he would say, this is President Clinton. I want information on what's going on at such and such. And they would say, yeah, Mr. President, I can't give you any information on that. And he'd say, well, what are you talking about? I'm the President of the United States. And the people would hang up, and he would try and call back, and then the number had been immediately changed. So I guess it's pretty much they're only going to give you the type of knowledge, even if you're the President of the United States, if you're willing to go along with a certain agenda. Because when you have places like Area 51 that are running on a huge budget, and like we said, it wasn't even known to the population until Google, well, there's got to have to be a lot of money that's being filtered through illegal channels to be able to run these programs. Because they cost millions and billions of dollars just to try and keep it secret from the public. I mean, it's unreal. I mean, they right before September 11th happened, someone, I forget who the gentleman was, but he said that, you know, there's trillions of dollars that are missing that are being filtered into these unacknowledged access projects. And then, of course, lo and behold, we had September 11th, where I'm sure a lot of the documents or any of this proof was being held. But, yeah, so we have that. We have Eisenhower. We have Betty and Barney Hill. We have Area 51.
You were dead on with your date there for Eisenhower. David Grohl was the Nirvana drummer.
Okay.
Dave Navarro was from Jane's Addiction.
Oh, okay.
And the first nuclear power plant did come about in 1954, a year after that.
Okay, well, there we have it. And well, and sticking, and I'm glad you said nuclear power plants, because if you go out and you Google UFOs, nuclear power plants, there's tons of information you can go out. There's people that were working at nuclear power plants, not just nuclear power plants, but plants where we housed nuclear weapons. Or on days they were just going to test the system. There wasn't going to be any type of launch, but they were testing the systems to make sure that they were go, and there was claims that all these craft came around the plants and just completely shut down the power altogether. And it's never happened because these plants aren't just something that's, oh, well, the power went out. I mean, they lose power. They have backup. And nothing was working. They're calling these generals on the phone. We lost power here. Nothing's working. Can you imagine our whole nuclear defense is offline?
Right.
So these generals are coming in and they can't get it to come back online. These generals are seeing these craft in the area and it can't be explained. But they hung in the area for a few hours. They disappeared. All power came back on. There was a report that they actually had shot a dummy missile from one of these plants one time. And on video, they caught a craft flying around the dummy missile and shooting lasers into it on all sides. And one of the people working there, who was in charge of recording this video and capturing it, he saw this and he was called into an office the very next day and they played the video because he hadn't seen the craft on the video when he was taking it. But they called him in, they showed it to him on a screen, bunch of generals standing around, and they basically told him, you never saw this, and don't ever speak of it, your career's over, if not. And, I mean, so many people were coming forward talking about this. I mean, it can't just be some type of hoax.
Right, for that many people, and for people that high ranking to come out and speak of this, there's something behind it.
Definitely. To jump into to another topic within this, I have written down to discuss the real Men in Black, or MJ-12, which was a project that was put together by the CIA for anybody that had any type of eerie thing happen to them, any type of UFO sighting or alien abduction. There was this group who people say that at one point that George Bush Sr. was a part of, that they would send these actual Men in Black out to check to see if these people are just making this stuff up, or if they have credible information that they don't want the populace finding out about, because they need to keep this very, very hush hush. And that's where the movie the comedy Men in Black comes from. But if you would Google, or if you would type into YouTube "Real Men in Black," there is a documentary out there that's put out by the Russians, and it is a really, really credible video. And they're going through the whole real Men in Black and what they do. And I mean, they really can scare people. There was a guy, I think it was back in the 50s, who was just out for a nice afternoon with his daughter and told his daughter, go sit there on the lawn and I'm going to take your picture. And he took a picture of his daughter. Well, when he got it developed, there was seemed to be an image of a man standing in the background, which you could make out, and it kind of looked like he had a space suit on. Well, he couldn't figure out what this picture was, so he took it to the newspapers, and they published it. Well, he said he was visited by two men dressed in black suits. They looked really weird. They talked really strange. They only referred to each other by letters, like even in the comedy Men in Black, like they did. And what he thought was bizarre was they kept saying to him, yeah, we know that being is in the picture. Where's the other one? And he would look at him and say, what are you talking about, the other one? All I have is this picture with this one. They're like, yeah, we know about that. Where's the other one? Which is pretty strange. So obviously they're already aware of these beings around. Not just this one. They want to know where's the other one. So these Men in Black are a real organization, also known as MJ-12, that are sent to investigate. I saw a video that was taken from a hotel one day where these people were making claims of UFOs and ETs. And it's just a quick clip, but you see these two guys dressed in black coming through the front doors of this hotel. They do look really strange, and it turns out that they went and they were really coming down on these people that were making these claims, telling them, don't you ever discuss this again. We don't want to hear another word about it. If you do, we're going to be back, and you're not going to like it. So, we have that.
So there's the Men in Black.
So there's the Men in Black. But now I'm going to get into what is probably, when I look into this topic, is probably the man that I spend the most time researching. And his name is Dr. Stephen Greer. And Dr. Greer has been involved with ETs and ufology for a long time. He started off as an ER doctor, but he had his own experience as a child with seeing a UFO, and so he had a lot of interest in it. And when he got older, he started a project called Project Starlight, which has now been renamed the Disclosure Project or Sirius. But Dr. Greer, once he started this project, he he had a slow start, but lo and behold, he started to have a lot of people come forward to him, a lot of respectable people in the Air Force and the Army and the Navy and the Marines. But, we're talking about generals that have come forward and saying, "Yeah, I've seen this technology. Yes, there's been aircraft that's been brought down. Yes, there has been bodies. Yes, we have been able to back engineer some of these crafts, and we do have our own." And Dr. Greer, he really goes into depth talking about a lot of what's real and what's not, what the government wants us to know and what the government doesn't want us to know. He talks about the ins and outs of if you were to see a craft in the sky, about how to be able to tell whether it is actually extraterrestrial or if it's been back engineered by us and it's us trying to or test piloting these vehicles. Now, basically, he says if it's a real ET vehicle, that it's seamless, that you can't see any part of where it was actually put together or where there's been a screw or a nail. You'll know it's ET if it's just chromed out, seamed, and it doesn't seem like there's any way to really get in there. But I mean, he's gone as far as he's briefed presidents on these topics. He's briefed Obama on these topics. He's got the documents to back it up. He's briefed President Clinton on it. He's briefed the head of the CIA on it. And he actually had a panel of himself and about four or five other scientists that testified in front of Congress back in September of 2001 on, yes, that aliens and UFOs are real, and they wanted to get enough credibility behind this because they want the technologies to be able to be brought out and to be used by the human population, such as free energy. Dr. Greer talks about the technology that they have in these black programs, that it's something the size of like a tissue box that you can sit on your table, and it'll power your house forever. But it's all alien technology that we have, but it's locked up in these black projects by the military industrial complex, and we can't get to it. But he has got a really good documentary out called Sirius. I'm sure you can find it on Netflix, or if you go to Redbox, I'm sure you can rent it. But he's got another great one coming out next month. It's called Unacknowledged. And if you have any interest in this topic, I really suggest going to see this, because Dr. Greer has a lot of high-ranking military officials coming forward for this documentary that are going to be talking about everything they've seen, everything that they're aware of, and they're just coming forward. Dr. Greer has been able to set these people at ease so much, because these people, obviously their lives have been threatened if they ever come forward. But he says pretty much that everything that they're doing within these projects is illegal, because it doesn't follow the Constitution. It doesn't follow any of our laws. Everything's illegal. So if you come forward, we're going to give you our type of protection so that they come forward. And he talks about a lot of false flag operations that are going to possibly be carried out by our government, that are going to simulate what seems to be UFOs in the sky and ETs, so that we become afraid and that we get behind our government actually weaponizing space, because our government wants to weaponize space. Now, the ETs, they don't want that. As a matter of fact, Dr. Greer has said that the reason that we haven't even been able to travel outside of our, past our moon, basically, is because that the human race hasn't developed enough. We haven't reached a certain level of consciousness yet to be able to travel interstellar peacefully. So, I don't know. That was a lot of information.
No, it's great. Unacknowledged is coming out in the next few months here,
and yeah, it should be out next month, actually.
Yeah, so I'm definitely checking it out.
Yeah, I know they're going to be having a launch party for that out in California, and then it's going to be given out to a handful of theaters across the nation. I hope our theater gets it. If not, I'll have to wait for a DVD because I definitely want to purchase it, because I've seen Sirius, and it lives up to its name. It's some serious stuff. Now, it's not spelled like being serious. It's spelled like, like star system Sirius.
Right.
But
a serious cloud.
Yeah. So if you have any interest in this topic, I mean, I would highly suggest looking into Dr. Stephen Greer. Go out to YouTube. He puts together some great events. People get together for weekends, and he'll sit down and just share all of his knowledge. And I'll tell you what, this is definitely one of my favorite topics to discuss. I could go on for hours, but we just wanted to throw out some little tidbits on what we have, because we definitely could probably go on for days on this topic, but I don't know. Steve, you got anything?
No, it's just, if you think back, you have to take time out of the equation, and you look at the human race, and whether or not we've been contacted by another intelligent race, and you look at the caveman drawings, the hieroglyphics, you look at the pyramids that have been built, you look at things that have happened in the late 40s and in the 50s when we were at the cusp of nuclear technology, and that's when it seems to have hit the spike in the Richter scale. And I think that that's when we got the most attention from ETs, because we were on to something there that was very dangerous to us. We could have at some point blown our entire planet up. And I think that there could have been some guidance there. There could have been definitely some observation there.
Right. Yeah, because so, they probably are thinking to themselves, okay, well, they witnessed us dropping atom bombs, and
on each other,
and they've been able to go out and visit the moon. There's plans to go out as far as Mars. If these people start being able to go interstellar travel, and they're going to start taking out other civilizations, they're not going to have that, and is exactly why. I mean, why haven't we been back to the moon? People have said that we were warned off of the moon. There are people out there. There was guys that worked at NASA that said they've been brought in to look at some pictures that shows that there's bases on the backside of the moon. Some guy I watched a documentary. He was in it. He was like, "Yep, I was brought in." This guy was like, "Look, they found a base on the backside of the moon." He showed these pictures. He said he went home that night and was so excited because he couldn't wait to see it come onto the news that night. He said, "Here, it's 30 years later. I'm still waiting to see it on the news." It all gets shelved in black projects, and you never hear about it. But these are credible individuals. But I think that without going on for another few days, there's some things you can look into. We've given you some tidbits to research, I think.
And with the sharing of knowledge, and that being such a powerful thing, with WikiLeaks, the things that our government knows are going to come to light, and it's going to be relatively soon in our grand scheme of history. So there's going to be developments, there's going to be new missions, new things that are occurring, and to be on this side of it, looking at it, it seems like there are only old facts, but I have a feeling that in the very near future, there are going to be some new facts.
Absolutely. Because if you think about it, the people that are in charge of all this information right now, why don't they want it coming out? Because they're the people that own the oil companies. They don't want you to have free energy. They're the people that run the pharmaceutical companies. They don't want technologies that are never going to get you sick. So, of course, they're going to flood money into keeping this secrecy and keeping it away from the human population. So until we stand up and say, and our voice is heard, that we want these technologies and we're ready for this information, and there's not going to be complete hysteria if you tell us that there's other intelligent life on other planets and they visit us and they're giving us this great technology to be able to heal us and be able to live on free energy and to end poverty. Come on. So, yeah, this is a discussion that goes far beyond UFOs and just ETs. It goes on to helping us be a better people.
Right. It's a topic of, are we ready? Are we not going to weaponize a technology immediately when we get it and try to turn it around to destroy the very people that gave it to us?
Exactly. Well, if you liked what we had to say tonight, or you found it interesting and you'd like us to give more information on this topic in the future, let us know by going out to our Facebook page. We're going to provide an area out there for you to share your thoughts and opinions. Do you believe? Do you not believe? Hey, at this point, I guess nobody's wrong, but...
Right. Share what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think, and let's keep this conversation going. As always, share the episode with your friends and your family and your coworkers, and let's help Subtle Beasts get out there and touch some other people's lives and see what they think, and just keep talking. It's fun.
Yeah, let's keep it going.
Absolutely. So until next time, everybody, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
Take care of one another. Bye-bye.